Hi, everyone. So today I want to touch base on six executive orders that were issued by the Trump administration that, if they're fully implemented, could have a fairly significant impact on nearly every aspect of federal government contracting. So I'm going to try to keep this short, but I think there's just too much information to put in a 5-minute video blog, so we're going to style this as a webinar. So before we get started, I just want to say a couple of words about me and my law firm. Now, I've been practicing law for over 20 years, and I'm the founder of the Amadeo Law Firm, and it has locations in Washington, D.C., and in Maryland. And we help our government contracting clients with all of their government contracting legal needs. And that includes providing advice on FAR and DFARS compliance, advising clients during post-award negotiations, and we also help our technology clients protect their valuable technology in their dealings with the government and with their private sector collaborators. Now, there's more information up there on the slide, and we'll also be providing my contact information at the end of this presentation. So the number of executive orders issued by the Trump administration so far has been pretty staggering. By my count, there are at least 9 executive orders that may impact federal government procurement in some way. So for today's webinar, I just want to give a quick summary of 6 of the executive orders that may have the potential to impact the widest number of contractors, particularly small business and medium-sized contractors. So the main goal here is just to raise awareness of these changes, because several of these executive orders are going to change how government contracting is done pretty dramatically, for better or worse. And the industry response so far, no pun intended, has been pretty muted, especially from small business government contractors. And my concern is that maybe there just isn't the level of awareness yet that there should be. Now, part of the reason for the lack of the small business community response may be that these changes are being done by executive order. So the opportunities for industry participation and feedback have been fairly limited so far. Now, the last point I want to make is that we've been at a regulatory standstill for several months, and that's because of one of the executive orders that I'm going to touch on in a couple of minutes. But that doesn't mean that there is nothing going on, and so industry and small business should not be lulled into a false sense of tranquility or complacency. So the first two executive orders that I want to touch very briefly on are executive orders that were issued right off the bat during the first days of the administration and that are aimed at eliminating diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives in the government writ large. So they're not targeting federal procurement only. Now, we talked about Executive Order 14173 in our recent GovCon video blog, so I don't want to rehash it all again here, but EO 14173 revokes Executive Order 11246, and it prohibits OFCCP from taking certain actions, but it leaves in place equal employment requirements for disabled persons and veterans. Now, Executive Order 14148 is supposed to be aimed at restricting DEI practices and climate-related initiatives, but we're starting to see collateral impacts of these executive orders, and in particular on small businesses. Now, just recently, as we talked about in our latest GovCon bulletin, on June 12th, Executive Order 14148 was used by the FAR Council as a basis for withdrawing a proposed rule that was aimed at increasing all small business participation in multiple award contracts, not necessarily 8As or SDBs. And as you noodle through the justification for the withdrawal, the rationale seems a bit tenuous. The proposed rule that was intended to increase small business participation in multiple award contracts was authorized by an OMB memo that simply referred to one of the executive orders that was rescinded by EO 14148. But again, the proposed rule itself was aimed at helping all small businesses, and it had nothing to do with DEI or climate change, and it didn't even mention any of the executive orders that were rescinded by 14148. So the next executive order that I want to talk about is the one that I referred to earlier that has really grounded all new regulations to a halt. Executive Order 14192 says that if an agency proposes or promulgates a new regulation, the agency has to identify at least 10 existing regulations to be repealed. So agencies have to think long and hard about what regulations they can afford to give up to put new ones in place. But the stranglehold on new regulations is made even tighter by cost offset requirements. And specifically, additional costs that are related to any new regulation have to be offset by cost savings from the 10 repealed regulations. And the total new costs of all final new regulations have to essentially result in significant net cost reductions when factoring in the repealed regulations. Now, as we've talked about in a recent GovCon video blog on CMMC, we've already seen that this 10-for-1 requirement has become a hurdle, and folks at DoD have pointed to that requirement as an impediment to issuing the final DFARS rule under CMMC. So the next executive order that I want to briefly touch on is Executive Order 14240, and this will make the GSA the sole buying agent for common goods and services for all agencies, and the sole purchasing agent for government-wide IT contracts. So common goods and services is defined to mean the common categories of goods and services that are set up by the Category Management Leadership Council. So this executive order takes category management to a whole new mandatory level. And making the GSA the main agent for government-wide IT contracts is invariably going to bring GWACs that are run by other agencies under GSA's roof. Now, how that's going to happen isn't all clear at this point, but GSA has already announced a new program for acquiring IT called the OneGov Strategy. Now, with this executive order and the other executive orders that I've mentioned in this presentation, as efforts progress, we anticipate that we'll have a more in-depth webinar or vlog series that focuses on each effort. So the next executive order that I want to touch on is one that pushes agencies to buy commercial goods and services whenever possible. So under Executive Order 14721, agencies are supposed to review all of their open agency solicitations, pre-solicitation notices, award notices, and sole source notices for non-commercial products and services. And then to proceed with those procurements, contracting officers have to submit applications that request approvals from the agency to buy the non-commercial products or services. Now, these applications will have to include market research and pricing analysis, and then within 30 days, the agency would review the applications and assess the research and pricing analysis and then make a decision. But these additional administrative procedures seemingly will nudge agencies that want solutions sooner rather than later to pursue commercial options rather than risk delay. So the last executive order that I want to talk briefly about today is one that arguably may have the most significant impact on federal government contracting procedures, and that's Executive Order 14725. Now, Executive Order 14725 essentially calls for a complete overhaul of the Federal Acquisition Regulation, or FAR, by mid-October. And the goal under the executive order is to have FAR slimmed down to only include provisions that are required by statute or that meet other criteria like supporting simplicity and usability or that protect economic or national security. And under the executive order, OMB is required to issue a memorandum that kind of fleshes out the order and provides additional guidance, which OMB did issue in May. So under that OMB memo, regulations that are not based on statutes will be replaced with buying guides. And then regulations that remain will be part of a streamlined FAR. And then collectively, the buying guides and the streamlined FAR are what DoD calls the strategic acquisition guidance that agencies are supposed to follow in conducting their procurement activities. Now, the process for getting to a streamlined FAR will happen in two steps or phases. So in phase one, the FAR Council will issue deviation guidance for each part of the FAR on a rolling basis. And that deviation guidance is the FAR Council's first crack at a scaled back version of the FAR. And then agencies will then issue individual deviations or class deviations from the FAR Council's model text. Now, the FAR Council will not formally respond to any feedback during the deviation guidance phase, but they will consider any industry input during the formal rulemaking phase. So phase two is where the formal rulemaking takes place, but again, that won't happen until the FAR Council has posted its model deviation language for all of the FAR parts. Now, one aspect of the final FAR rules under the OMB memo is a sunset provision. And under that provision, any FAR requirements that are not directed by statute that remain in the FAR will expire 4 years after the effective date of the rule, unless it's renewed by the FAR Council. Now, this phase two formal rulemaking process is the first point in which industry will have an opportunity to formally participate in the FAR overhaul through public comments that the FAR Council will have to respond to. But the problem is that this process happens significantly down the line, after agencies and contractors have already been proceeding under the FAR Council's model deviations and are under any agency deviations. Now, all that being said, the FAR Council created a website at acquisition.gov for the FAR overhaul, where the model deviations and agency deviations will be posted along with any buying guides. And contractors should make a concerted effort to review the website to stay informed of the changes. So, for example, as of today, the FAR Council has posted model deviations to 6 parts of the FAR, including Part 10 regarding market research, and then Part 39 regarding the acquisition of information and communications technology, along with agency deviations related to those parts. Now, again, at some point, we'll take a closer look at the FAR overhaul in more detail in a future webinar or vlog series. Well, that's all I have for today's review of the executive orders. I want to thank everyone for listening in. Now, I know we've covered a lot of territory, but if anyone has any questions on any of the information that we've gone over, my contact information is up there on the slide, so feel free to reach out with your questions. And thanks again.